Her name was Louise, but everybody just called her Lou. That was actually her preference, and I know that because I asked her. She was a founding member of the Our Savior's Lutheran Church Ladies' Aid Society. I met her for the first time in what we used to call the lounge area. Do you remember before the remodel, we had that room over there right by the office, the library at one end, and some display stuff at the other. She was in charge of the group that day, and so she introduced me to the rest of the group, our new pastor, she said. And at 94, she seemed like one of the younger ones in the group then. They had china on the table, and each table was carefully covered with linen and iron tablecloths, and there was coffee and tea and cookies, and always and only homemade cookies. They also had those fancy little sandwiches with the Norwegian cheese on top and cucumbers, you know, the ones. About a year went by, and Lou couldn't, she just couldn't get around like she used to be able to. I went over to her house, and she had an apartment, really. And do you know where the Everett Public Library is now on Rucker? If you go on kitty corner from that over on the west side, that building, have you driven by that one? Her unit was in there. That building still stands, and it's almost as old as she would have been had she not passed away in 1991. I went over to see her because she'd asked me to come. She wanted me to come over, and I knew that, well, she was just about totally blind. And I got there, and I realized that she was also just about totally alone. Still, I got over there, and we sat down in what she loved to call the parlor. And then she would point at stuff on the walls. And you think about that, she couldn't see it. But she still knew where the mementos were. She still had photographs and items, pieces of memory that she could show me by heart. I wondered and, well, frankly, worried that anybody going in there and moving furniture would have set her up for a disaster. We sat down and were kind of knee-to-knee there, and the conversation very quickly turned to me, to my family, and to our brand-new baby daughter. She was fascinated. She was engaged and interested. Not, you know, I kind of found myself doing one of these. And then I realized, well, wait a minute, she can't see me, so I can look at my watch all I want. You know, there was other people I was going to see, and oh, she wanted to find out more. At one point, she actually reached over with her hand, kind of looking for my arm. And then when she found it, she kind of pulled it in closer. And she looked at me with those watery eyes, and she smiled, and her voice got small. She said, "Pastor, you should be glad you had a daughter first. She'll take care of you when you get old like me." I almost told her that I thought that was sexist, but I didn't. Not sure she would have even understood that. I still don't know if she meant that as a statement of her own experience, proved out in her own life. I don't know if she said that to me wishing that had been her experience, or if that was just something that she'd heard her own mother say so long ago. "You should be glad you had a daughter first. She'll take care of you when you get old like me." Taryn and I made a little video this week, and if you were to go to the church's Facebook site, it would look something like that. And I'll confess to you, we had no idea they would get as many, what do you call it, hits as it has. I haven't checked this morning, but at least, 800 and something people by now have watched at least some part of it. We did that because, we had a couple things that we just couldn't not say. And one of those had to do with pitching the youth group's trip to Houston coming up later this summer, the ELCA youth gathering and 30,000 teenagers descending on that place. We want you to support that, contribute toward that. But the other reason was just what's been happening. The other reason was that we just could not say nothing about bullets and kids and debates and schools. We sat down in my office and we put her phone on a little gizmo and, you know, sat down in front of it. I thought it would be easier than it was, but it took us, what do you call that, three takes? I won't speak for Taryn, but I'll just be honest with you that something happened to me and my chin kept shaking and my fists kept clenching and my nostrils flared. I kept seeing kids running and screaming and bleeding. Taryn, you erased those outtakes, didn't you? I nod. Oh, well, I said some really bad words. Amazing kids. A generation of young people, both precious and powerful. Amazing kids. Angry and honest. Kids who are vulnerable and sturdy. Kids who are weak and right. Protesting and rising and resisting and reminding us all that it matters. Facing down governors, presidents, legislators, and the press. Lou, she said, you should be glad that you had a daughter, for she'll take care of you when you get old like me. Some of us have kids and some of us don't. Some wanted kids and some didn't. Some have daughters, some have sons, some have both, some have neither. Some of us adopted, some of us fostered. Grandparents and godparents, and all of those are good. And I suppose we could say that no matter what your experience has been in all of that, it's clear to me that there's a kind of collective longing, maybe a collective confidence, that somehow this next generation will be better than us. I hope that's true. In all the chaos and all the progress that we've made, someone's going to come along afterward, be stuck with whatever it was that we left for them. In the old book, God said, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I'll establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. So who's the you? Right? Who's the you? Sarah and Abraham, way back in Genesis chapter 17. Have you thought about it? Why was it that God would choose that particular couple? Is it some special virtue on their part? You know, some kind of depth of character, some remarkable merit? I wondered if that was the case until I started reading up a little bit. And you might consider this, that I wonder if God made a mistake. Because Sarah and Abraham are awful. They really are. Think about it. Abraham married his sister. You don't find that out until chapter 20. Abraham's brother, Nahor, married and had children with his niece, Milcah, and the daughter of their brother, Haran. Bethuel, Laban, Rebekah would all be descendants of Milcah and her uncle, Nahor. Are you kind of putting this together in your head? I'm squirming. Later, Abraham would demand that his son Isaac would marry a woman who was also a relative. Do you know that old song? I'm my own grandpa. Abraham. If you read on, it's in chapter 12, Abraham sells his sister, or his wife, depending on how you read it, sells her to a foreign king. He got sheep and oxen. He got donkeys and camels in the deal. Sarah was a pretty miserable person herself. She's the one, after all, who forces her slave, Hagar, into a sexual relationship with her brother, husband, in order to make a baby that she herself would claim as her own. Are you squirming in your seats yet? The old Hebrew word to describe this force that gets applied, the old Hebrew word is anah. It's the same word that gets used to describe what the Egyptians did to the Hebrews. It's a word describing sexual assault. Sarah and Abraham, God, why did you pick them? Incest, trafficking, sexual assault, slavery? What were you thinking? Cheaters and liars and abusers, flawed and harmful, unbelieving and unworthy. And yet, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I'll establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. Just about the time we think it's all about us, our goodness, our rights, our values, our great parenting, God turns things upside down. You're mine, and I love you, says God. Get over it. Stop running and pretending. Stop trying to put yourself on top. God says, you belong to me. Now act like it. God would choose them, and God would change them. It's taken a long time. Let's pray. Oh God, we give thanks for kids, for all of them, all of them in their promise, their future, their hope, a new generation, one that will lead us and inspire us and show us again how to follow you. In Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.